Almighty God, into whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow thee, the only God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The epistle is written in the first chapter of the epistle of St. Paul's to the Corinthians, beginning at the fourth verse. I thank my God, always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here endeth the epistle.
Thank you.
each other as smoldering old friends, family, and newcomers to our parish. There's a luncheon that follows our worship this morning. And before we get there, after the final lesson, before the final hymn, we'll ask everyone to gather at the front of the church for a photograph to commemorate this event, this day. A special note in the number of services calendar, next Sunday evening at 7, not 6, but 7, the evening song, for St. Michael and all any things that happens this week. So next Sunday at 7. Flowers to the name of the glory of God and the loving memory of those who have died, the sons who were destined and read, come to heal the body of the choir. We made a new plaque just here on my left. There's a small wording covering the floor of the people that has been given by his family in the memory of Marguerite and the tower of his. There is a workshop sponsored by a concert, actually, kind of workshop sponsored by the all the employees at 10 to 12 at St. Paul's Church for Charlottetown. And you're invited to register at the door. And I almost forgot to mention. Notice about understanding the vision, and that will take place a presentation this Thursday in our cathedral hall at 7, and we're invited to contact Jane Ross, our mother is sitting there. Jane will appear on the radio, she will be heard on the radio on Tuesday morning.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Which commandment is first of all? From our gospel this morning, which commandment is first of all? The question comes often from the elderly, those who have, in some measure, completed much of the business of life. Their careers are over, their children are grown, their mortgages are paid, and much of their work and influence at home, church, and community has begun to wane. The question is asked with poignancy by those who are very ill. It's asked with apprehension by those just beginning high school, university, a new job, startled by the prospect of a long arc of life ahead. It comes from those who are middle-aged and disappointed with life, which so far has not quite panned out as they planned. The question comes from, well, all of us. Why am I here? In other words, what is the purpose of life, of my life? What's it all about? There are a variety of ways in which that question is asked. In our gospel, it comes in a typically Jewish form, in a question. Which commandment is the first of all? Jesus has just been asked a variety of questions in a lively encounter recorded in this chapter of Mark's Gospel. A variety of questions from competing and polarized groups who gang up on him to try and trap him in his speech and responses. So they ask about whether one should pay taxes to the heathen, cruel and oppressive occupying power, to Caesar. They try to get him to side either with the anti-tax Pharisees or the pro-tax Herodians. He eludes their snare and says, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." The coin has the image of Caesar on it. It belongs to him. You were made in the image of God. You belong to him. Give the coin to Caesar. Give yourself to God. Next come the Sadducees, who ask that ridiculous question about life after physical death, a reality they denied. He tells them, "The Lord God is not the God of the dead, but of the living," by which life he means resurrected, eternal life beyond this space and time. But Sadducees wouldn't understand or accept that concept. And of course, you remember how the Sadducees got their name. They didn't believe in the resurrection, and that's why they were so sad, you see. Finally, this scribe comes up and asks for Jesus' opinion. Which commandment is the first of all? In this context, it seems that the scribe's question in our gospel is again an attempt to get Jesus to choose one option or competing principle. There is a divide and conquer strategy at work against Jesus here, which he himself overturns, refusing even to allow the division of the love of God and neighbor. That then is the context of our gospel reading this morning. The question is, which is the first commandment? Now, you will remember from the catechism that the first of the ten is this: "I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have none other gods before me. The Lord our God, the Lord is one." And the first four of the Ten Commandments, we are taught to love the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. These four commandments correspond exactly to loving the one and only God with all our heart, the God who is no idol, with all our soul, the God who reveals himself and his name to us with all our mind, and loving him with all our strength in 6 days of work and 1 day of rest and recreation. The next six of the Ten Commandments relate our duty to love our neighbor, including everyone from our parents to the checkout clerk and the kid down the street who mows the lawn, even loving ourselves. Neither the content nor the pattern, what we rightly call Jesus' summary of the law, is novel or new. It's the same as the Ten Commandments themselves. In fact, the very words are from the Shema, or Hear, O Israel, based on Deuteronomy and Leviticus. The Hear, O Israel, the first section of that summary, was something every Jewish male was to repeat every morning and every night. There are really three sections in that summary which we ought to notice. First is the theological basis. Next, the command to love God with your all. And third, the command to love your neighbor. Now notice how truth is prior to love in Jesus' teaching. Knowledge of the Lord, who is the one and only God, precedes love of the Lord. Knowledge comes before love. You cannot love what you do not know. And you cannot love aright what you do not know aright. Right faith is a prerequisite to right love. And notice what kind of love this is. It's the kind that can be commanded. So it is an act of the will. But it involves not only our heart, our soul and mind and strength. Commandment is simply to love God with our all. I hope then you can see the connection between these first two sections, precisely because there is only one Lord God and no other but He. We owe Him everything, our undivided love, our all. There is no one else to thank but Him, finally, the source of all things. This love of God, this love for God, is to be undivided, undiminished, unique, and exclusive. Now the scribe asked Jesus for one commandment, but our Lord gave him two. He got more than he bargained for. It's the connection of these two commandments, the necessary connection, and even identity of the two, which is new. The love of God and neighbor are connected by Christ and in Christ in a brand new way. See, there's a string here. You cannot have your heart right with the Lord unless your mind is right with Him first. And you cannot be right with the Lord unless you are right with your neighbor too. You cannot love your neighbor aright unless you know him truly as a creature of God and beloved of the Lord for whom Christ died. The love of neighbor without the love of God reveals itself to be something quite unprincipled, self-serving, dangerous, and destructive. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. And as well, another point St. John emphasized, you cannot rightly love God unless that finds its expression in the love of neighbor. If a man says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. And the man who hates his brother is a murderer. Having then faced the Herodians, Sadducees, and Pharisees, Jesus poses a question to them in turn. His argument to them is that the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah only make sense in terms of the twin natures of the Messiah, the Christ, both Son of David and David's Lord. He is both the Son of Man, human, and the Son of God, divine. And here is where our gospel text finds its final unity. Remember that Jesus tells the scribe that he is not far from the kingdom of God, if he knows of the one Lord God and the duty to love him with your all and your neighbor as yourself. He is not far from the kingdom of God, but not yet in it. I suspect that many of us here find ourselves in the same place often. We acknowledge that there is one Lord God and that we perhaps owe him our all, and that our good individually and collectively lies in goodwill. We're not far from the kingdom of God. We believe in one God Almighty. But the Christian creed goes further. We're not just theists. We hold the best natural, who hold the best of natural religion, philosophy, head stuff, or which sees God in nature, but no more than that, empty head stuff. Because one cannot enter the kingdom of God without acknowledging and receiving the love and revelation of the Trinity, the Father who comes to us in Jesus Christ, the incarnate Lord and Savior, and in the life-giving Spirit. For one enters only by knowing, by faith in that divine human Savior, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus' riddle is an invitation to the scribe and us to decide about it. Who is he? Is he just a man, a good but perhaps deranged man with delusions of grandeur? Is he a devious manipulator, a con man, drifting through life on the kindness of strangers? Or is he our God, come in our human nature, to reveal himself and save us. He is asking, as C.S. Lewis put it, is he mad, bad, or God? In him, my friends, in him, my brothers and sisters, for it is in him we are friends, in him we are brothers and sisters, in him that we are neighbors with the whole of humanity. In him, the love of God and neighbor find their ultimate unity. He is a perfect expression of that love. Love one another as I have loved you, he says. Think only of his cross. See there the love of God, the giving of all his heart, soul, and mind and strength, as well as the greatest love of neighbor. And more, Jesus is both our God and our neighbor. In him we know the unity of the love of God and neighbor. He is the perfect revelation of God and the perfect representative of humanity. In Jesus, we come to know and believe the love that God has for us and to love God. And in Jesus Christ, we have come to know the love of neighbor and to love our neighbor. And as well, we need to add that it is in Jesus Christ we have come to love ourselves. And now, the word which is always a source of joy to those who listen to sermons, finally. The final hour I've given myself to preach today, finally, a personal word from me to you here on this Homecoming Sunday, described by the epistle. In those words put there by the epistle, I want to say that it has been my joy to come to know you in this parish. As the Apostle Paul puts it, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. I've been here with you almost 2 years now, and so I think I can speak frankly and honestly about you and to you. Don't worry, it isn't bad. Why am I here? In other words, what is the purpose of life, my life? What is it all about? Which commandment is the first of all? I see you living out the answer. I see you deeply committed to God and neighbor. You say, how can I help? So much more often than you say to me, you should. You live as if you were members of that mystical body of Christ, aware of the transcendence of the living God in these holy spaces, cathedral and chapel, spaces dedicated to God by those who have gone before and who you know now surround you in eternal love. You worship as if you stood at the gate of heaven, offering the best in word and song. You live as if you lived in the supernatural family of God. You reach out in Christ in love to this your family, in sorrow and joy, and with them you reach out to the world around you in its beauty and trial. You love God and neighbor. You know that this is why you are here, and that is what you are for, and I love you for it. I hope that you will be reminded this Sunday that, as Robert Frost said, home is a place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in. You've been given a home here, where you will always be taken in, a home where you will always be welcome, a home to sustain you and encourage you in love. We love him because he first loved us. Love one another as I have loved you. For the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This, I believe, is the motto and action plan of this cathedral parish. And I believe that you believe that love, both God's love for us and our love for God and in him for our neighbor, is in our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, who died for us while we were yet sinners, by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us, to whom, with Father, three persons, one God, be all honor and glory, worship and praise, now and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee.
Let us pray for Christ's holy Father, and for all for his name.
By thy holy apostle Paul, taught us to make prayers and supplications, give thanks for all men. Humbly beseech thee, most merciful, to accept our alms, donations, receive thee our prayers, we offer by divine mercies. O Lord, hear our prayer.
We beseech thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. Grant that all our unhappy divisions may be healed, and that all who confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. O Lord, hear our prayer. We beseech thee also to lead all nations in the way of righteousness, to guide and direct their rulers and governors, that thy people may enjoy the blessings of health and safety, freedom and peace. O Lord, hear our prayer. Grant unto thy servant Elizabeth, our Queen, and to all that are put in authority under her in our country, our province, and this city, that they may truly and impartially administer justice to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. O Lord, hear our prayer. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, Frederick, our Primate, Percy, our Metropolitan, Ronald, our Bishop, and all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and living word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. O Lord, hear our prayer. Prosper, we pray thee, Ralph Moore and the parishes of Milton and Rustico, the parish of Georgetown, Barry Morgan and the church in Wales, and the diocese of Llandaff, and all those who proclaim the gospel of thy kingdom in this diocese and among the nations. O Lord, hear our prayer. To all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and specially the congregation of this cathedral church here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. O Lord, hear our prayer. We most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor William Rumler, Nicholas Hatt, William Mamie, Julie Jackson, Benjamin Moore, Callum Thompson, James Mann, Abraham Roy, Marion Campbell Weil, Ajith Varghese, Ajith Thomas, all refugees, especially those from Syria, and all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, for whom our prayers are desired, including James and Barb Masterson. O Lord, hear our prayer. We remember before thee, O Lord, Louise Giz, Lois McLaren, Ruth Summers, George Vesey, Ted Ray, Chuck McKean, thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear. Rest eternal grant unto them, O Lord. We bless thy holy name for Peter our patron, and for all who in life and death have glorified thee, beseeching thee to give us grace that rejoicing in their fellowship, we may follow their good examples, and with them be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. O Lord, hear our prayer.
Thank you.
Blessing, glory, and thanksgiving be unto thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who have thy tender mercies didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made thereby his one oblation, himself once offered, full perfect and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction, sins of the whole world, and it institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memorial about his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, remembrance of his death and passion, be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. When the same night that he was betrayed took bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant,
which is shed for you, for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me.
Wherefore, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we thy humble servants, with all thy holy church, remembering the precious death of thy beloved Son, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, looking for his coming again in glory, do make before thee in this sacrament the holy bread of eternal life and the cup of everlasting salvation, the memorial which he hath commanded. Entirely desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant, by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. We pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, O we who are partakers of this holy communion, may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, honor and glory be unto thee, Father Almighty, world without end.
And now, as our Savior Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven,
trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose prophet is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, O gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his blood, and our souls washed with his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
Oh,
Christ, assuring us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are living members of his mystical body, which is the blessed company of all faithful people. You're also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. Here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls, and bodies, be a reasonable, holy, living sacrifice unto thee. And although we are unworthy, yet we beseech thee to accept this bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost, honor and glory, world without end. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you, in the name of all of us. Amen.